Okay, so we had some exciting news the other day that Holly Brooks won the Mount Marathon race. It's a running race in Alaska, and I believe she's won the race before. And we're going to catch up with Holly and talk about the race and what she's been up to. She's going to be training with the team, although she's not going to be with the team next year, but she's going to be training with the team that's going to be up in Alaska very shortly. And we have Holly on the line. Are you there, Holly?
Yep. Hey, everyone.
Hey, great, Holly. So great to get connected with you, and always great to see your name on the podium. And, of course, on the top of the podium is the best. Congratulations on your win at Mount Marathon. I think you won the race before. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was able to win in 2012 as well. So I didn't participate last year because I didn't want to get hurt for the Olympics. For the evening this year, just a couple of days ago, the odds were in my favor.
Yeah, so it looks like a pretty awesome race. Looks very tough. Tell us about what's involved so we understand what they put you through to in this event.
Yeah, it's a pretty grueling race. This year it was the 87th edition of Mount Marathon. And people say it's the second oldest foot race behind the Boston Marathon in North America. And it's actually not a marathon in length whatsoever. It's 3 miles up to the top of the mountain, 3,022 feet, and back down. It's very steep. The average pitch is 38 degrees. And it's a pretty crazy time. Seward, Alaska is a small town. And anywhere, I think there are a couple thousand residents, but the projections were anywhere between 35 and 45,000 people come to Seward every 4th of July to celebrate not only Independence Day, but to kind of watch this race. So it was a blast.
Wow, it sounds really special, and that's a lot of people, coming out to watch a race. Lots of cheering, I guess, and that encourages you when you're on course.
For sure. I have kind of a nickname for this race, and that's the Olympics of Alaska. this is the Berkey. What the Berkey is to the Midwest, Mount Marathon is to Alaska. And it's a pretty special race. You have to put in for a lottery to get in, and the night before there's an auction. And I think the highest bid to get in the race was $2,300 or $2,400. So it's a pretty epic race. You go uphill 3,000 feet, turn around, and come back down. And the fastest time to descend a mile and a half and over 3,000 feet is 10 minutes flat. So you're literally running down waterfalls and steep scree, and it's pretty brutal.
It really sounds like it, and that's quite a feat, and that's a lot of money for people to bid to get in there. So really interesting facts about the Mount Marathon. And I understand that the junior race was won by a woman for the first time. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a girl, Allie Ostrander, and the junior race is co-ed. So for the senior race, it's women only and then men only. But the junior race is co-ed, and she won the entire thing overall. So that I was really kind of fired up to see that and take some good girl power and inspiration into my own race.
Absolutely.
But Allie is no joke. She has one of the top 2 mile times in the entire country. So, she's going into her senior year of high school, and she's being recruited by pretty much every single top running school in the country. So she's no joke.
Absolutely, and it's such an accolade for her, but also just a good, like you said, for girl power. It's high points for that. So is there a way you could compare this? I mean, you've spent so much of your life on skis, and obviously you're a top end runner and an athlete all around. But is there a way to compare this type of race with the type of racing you've been doing on the World Cup with skiing?
It really draws upon just some raw fitness for the uphill. The uphill takes about 38 minutes, and you're just towing the line of high threshold without blowing up the entire time. So skiers typically do really well. Eric Strabel, APU coach, he also won this year, and he's won in the past. So skiers tend to do really well in the race. After you get to the top, you round a rock, and for the descent, I have to say that's nothing like cross-country skiing, really. It's more like alpine skiing in that you're going really fast. There's huge consequences for falling.
Sure.
And, you know, it's kind of like you lean into the hill and people call it a controlled fall. But this year was pretty wild. It was extremely hot. And it was also hot in 2009. That was the year that I actually passed out and ended up in the emergency room. So I had a lot of anxiety going into this race with the forecast. And you push yourself so hard on the way up, and then you have to turn around and come back down. And my legs just felt like jello. You know, I felt like a marionette. And I'm just so glad I didn't fall, because I felt like if I had fallen, I wouldn't have been able to get back up. But I had quite a lead at the top of the course, and then I bled a lot of time on the downhill, mostly on the road, and I ended up winning by only 2 seconds, which is, I think, one of the closest races in Mount Marathon history. So that last half mile on the road in front of tens of thousands of screaming people was the longest half mile of my entire life.
But sounds like it was a really grueling race, but you were able to hold it off until the end and, of course, come through with flying colors. I think people underestimate what it takes to go downhill on dry terrain, would you say?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I think this race, it's hard to describe the pain and the experience without having done it yourself, and especially under the hot conditions that we had. I had a good support crew out there. I probably had 8 different people dumping ice water on my back and giving me feeds on the way up, just because of my history with the heat and this race. After the 2009 race, I actually had to take 2 months off for exertional rhabdomyolysis. So it's pretty brutal. And actually, the uphill, the steep up and the steep down isn't the worst part. The worst part is when you hit the road at the end, and you know your muscles just don't want to run fast on the flat terrain after kind of tackling that 38 degrees.
It sounds like a real test of your mettle, and congratulations on coming through and winning once again. You know, I was thinking while you're talking about the event and how it's got such history. I know that recently you and Rob, your husband, did an event which you also won. I think it's called the Usyk Classic. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was back in March in Talkeetna, 50K Classic race.
That's another Alaska kind of milestone, I think. It's got a lot of history as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty fun race. It's kind of old school classic skiing through the woods, big 25K loops, and a good party afterwards. People dress up, but it's also a pretty deep field just by nature of being a ski race in Alaska. So that's a fun one as well.
Sounds neat. Sounds like you got some great races up there. And I know we were chatting, you know, before, and all the top end skiers are going to be in Alaska shortly.
Yeah, we actually have our annual Alaska camp starting tomorrow, Monday here in Anchorage, and it started off as NADA, which is the North American Women's Training Alliance. This year, unfortunately, we don't have any Canadians with us, which you know the North American Training Alliance part, but the past couple of years, we have been lucky enough to bring over an international guest. And this year, we have Celine Brunli with us from the Norwegian national team. And Celine actually got here a couple of days ago, and she was actually able to be down in Seward to watch the race. And Jesse Diggins came up early as well, and she was able to watch the race too. So she actually gave me a feed halfway up the mountain, which was kind of fun. So really excited to have all the US Ski Team girls up here, training with the APU girls and Celine Brunli. So we'll have the first week of training in town, dryland, and then we'll head up to Eagle Glacier for a week on snow.
Sounds like an exciting time, and it's great to have Celine over here, I'm sure. And, you know, so your plans this year are going to be, you're focusing in on the marathons, on the Marathon Cup season ahead. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm just really excited for a new challenge. Distance skiing and long distance skiing is something that I've always been really attracted to. And, you know, the marathon scene is really growing, especially in Europe. And I find it really fun and exciting to kind of take on a new challenge. And, you know, at least to my knowledge, there hasn't been many North Americans who have gone after the FIS Marathon Cup. So I'm pretty excited. Have some good race plans. It's still coming together. It's not quite as tangible. I did have an offer from a European-based marathon team, but they wanted a huge commitment in terms of going over to Europe for training camps every month in the summer and fall. And I just wanted something that would allow me to spend a little bit more time at home and kind of work some of my Alaskan adventuring into my training plan, which I think bodes really well for, you know, 3, 4, and 5 hour ski races. So I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hear that there are 4 new marathon races that have been added to the calendar this year. Have you heard the same?
Well, it's a little bit confusing in that right now there are kind of 2 different circuits in Europe. There are the Swiss Ski Classics, which obviously is all classical races.
Yes.
And then there's the FIS World Lobbit Series. So think about you know, maybe a parallel is two World Cups going on simultaneously. And the only race that counts for both cups is the Marcia Longa in Italy. And, you know, there's a long list of FIS World Lobbit races, but only a few of them count for the actual cup. So, it gets a little confusing at certain points. But there are some new races on the schedule, and for the most part, they'll all be really new to me. The Engadin in Switzerland is on the schedule. I've been to that twice now, and I've had a blast every time I've gone. And then, of course, the American Birkebeiner is also on the schedule. And
sure.
I'll be returning to Hayward this year, so I'm excited for that.
Well, it sounds like a pretty hectic summer ahead with training, and then, of course, come fall, the season is jam-packed with races, so you're going to have a full plate, it sounds like. But it's exciting to think that, like you said, there hasn't been a North American vying for the top spots on the podium at the FIS Marathon Cup, so we really hope that you're able to get there, and we're going to be cheering for you all the way.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I'm really excited to kind of convey the stories and things from these races and just more information, because I think these high-level marathons, not only do they have a deep competitive field for the top end, but you see, you know, 5,000, 10,000, or sometimes 30,000 people doing these races. And, you know, I think they're races that North Americans would really love to go to and have, you know, kind of an athletic goal and reason, but also a cultural experience. So, you know, there are some pretty awesome races in Austria and Italy and Japan and Norway and Sweden and Poland. And I'm excited to kind of go scope it out and hopefully take people along with me for the journey. So I'm really excited.
It sounds really great, Holly. And the pictures when we see of the massive groups of people on skis in those loppets, it looks very inspiring. And clearly it's inspired you. So we want to thank you for spending time with us here. And congrats again on a fabulous win at Mount Marathon. And all the best with your plans this season.
Okay, thanks so much. And thanks for listening, everyone.